following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Golic, we have Protection One at our house.
And they protect our home, too.
Best feature for me, mobile control. I use my phone, see what the kids are doing, turn on or off the lights, or just arm and disarm the system anywhere I am.
Best feature for me, Protection One customer service. They have live operators, an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating, and offer same-day service.
Plus, with a national footprint, they protect nearly 2 million homes and businesses today.
Oh, no, we actually agree. Protection One is the best defensive player pick.
Get a Protection One home security system starting at just $99. Go to protectionone.com/Mike.
No one delivers the holidays like the U.S. Postal Service.
There are 12 blizzards blowing.
10 straight days raining.
6 snowballs flying.
5 mysteriously heavy holiday fruitcakes, like 70 pounds.
4 lightning bolts.
3 creepy gnomes.
2 angry geese.
And a giant blow-up snowman that kind of freaks me out.
The U.S. Postal Service is delivering the holidays like never before. With improved tracking up to 11 scans, domestic priority mail flat rate is more reliable than ever. We are the U.S. Postal Service, and our priority.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Wednesday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show, the final Wednesday edition of 2013, because next Wednesday, Christmas Day, the following Wednesday, New Year's Day, apparently there's a game going on that day, a few of them anyway, and so we'll be talking about all that's going on with the world of sports over the next hour here. Among our guests, we're going to catch up with Loper football coach Daryl Morris, talk about just the fifth All-American in UNK history, first team All-American from the Coaches Association, and Cole Manhart. We'll get a couple more comments from the coach on that. Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal Star will join us at the bottom of the hour, very latest on the Huskers, and had a chance to chat with Mark Richt via a Nebraska teleconference this morning, and we'll talk a little bit about what the coach had to say, and momentarily our Loper Link will catch us up with the Chancellor at UNK, Doug Christensen, as we always like to kind of wrap up the year by talking to the Chancellor, the Athletic Director. We had Mr. Plinsky on last week before the final Loper lunch of 2013, so we're going to get to all that here on the Doug and Daddy Show today, and if you've got anything that you'd like to add to the program, all you have to do is tweet us, email us, Facebook us, call us, throw a rock through the window with a note on it. I mean, whatever works. I always say that because I don't sit by the window. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. The Twitter address, at ESPN 1460 1550. That's at ESPN 1460 1550. Of course, if you Facebook us, we are at ESPN Superstation. And since day one, the email for the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Let's get into it with our Loper Link, brought to you by CharterWest National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons, they have the loans. See Russ Smith today at CharterWest National Bank. It's always a pleasure to welcome in the Chancellor at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, Doug Christensen. Doug, Super. Merry Christmas. And, wow, we didn't let the kids out on December 6th this year. What's going on?
Oh, I know. It's a pretty stressful day up on campus right now. If you walk through Bruner Hall and the library, those that are left, the heads are down, and there's a look of despair on some, a sigh of relief on others, and sheer terror on some of those freshmen. You know, and it's an interesting time because we see our student athletes are in this academic environment as well, and they're trying to balance that with their academic performances and practice, and maybe all of that's a great release. It's a great time to be on campus. And, of course, graduation's Friday.
And I want to touch on that. But I also, you bring up the student athletes, and UNK has always been very good in that spot, no matter if they were an independent, if they were the RMAC, and now in the MIAA. Are there any, from that aspect, is there anything different what the RMAC and the MIAA looks at for, say, all-conference or academic all-conference awards?
Well, I think there's probably a little more competition for some of the academic awards in the conference. The conference is probably a more academic conference, which is attractive to us as an institution. I think the biggest difference I see academically is that the faculty athletic reps have a major substantial role in the MIAA. In the RMAC, they were sort of, well, we need one. And they really didn't have that great of a role. In the MIAA, there's a definite faculty presence, and they meet, they have a part of the, how should I call it, the legislative process in the MIAA. Nothing happens without them.
Yeah.
They meet regularly. They have more authority. They also are involved in meeting out some of the punishments of the conference, which is definitely not part of what the RMAC used to do. So there's some really good academic institutions in one, I think, that look like us. And we hold our own, though, in the conference academically, and we're very proud of that.
What about graduation? It used to be summer graduates and midterm graduates was kind of a flyover a few years ago, but
yeah,
that's not the case anymore. You're going to have a pretty big ceremony Friday.
We will. You know, we have probably 420-some students go through. We're probably at 1,300 now every year. So if we have 600 in the spring, 400 and some in the winter, that leaves us 250 in the summer. And no longer is it the ones who, I was a half a semester late, I didn't get that done. More likely than not, these are students who are non-traditional or students who are graduating early as much as they may graduate late. And, you know, for all practical purposes, we really look at six-year graduation rates. Four-year graduation rates are good, but they're not very practical at this point. With so many of our students working to get through, we want them to take study abroad programs. We want them to student teach. We want them to do internships. That all adds to that link. So most of the students you're going to see on Friday are probably five-year students. That's probably finishing their fifth year.
Chancellor Doug Christensen with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. This isn't a specific sports question, but I'm curious, and I'm guessing you probably know the number. What is graduation rate like at UNK? I'm talking about the number of kids that came to UNK and the number of kids in, if you want to pick your year, 4, 5, 6,
right,
that graduate from UNK.
Yeah, we're looking right at 60% graduation rates. And that is true, has been historically true for us. We made a big change in 1997 because that's when the entrance standards went up. And so when you,
that's how they let me into town that year.
Well, that's probably how you got in ahead of time. You beat the standard. But you know, four-year graduation rates, we're probably down somewhere in the lower 20s. It's an unusual student that will graduate in 4 years today. Most of them will take that fifth year. But we've got a few non-traditional students. If we look at our student-athletes, most of them are probably going to, you know, their graduation rate's probably a five-year rate because the NCAA imposes those said progress towards degree standards, which I think are very good, and you know, those are things we could talk about because that's subject to some change now in January when the NCAA meets in San Diego.
It's going to be tougher for the kids?
No, actually, I don't think so. I think what's going to happen is that we're going to be more responsive to who becomes an automatic qualifier and who becomes a partial qualifier. We recognize with a lot of students, so they don't score as well. The NCAA keeps data on everything. It's incredible, their data collection, and they've now started to use it. And it shows that there's a number of students who will score on the ACT poorly. And so we say, oh, your chances of graduation are slimmer. We're going to make you a partial qualifier or you won't qualify. But if you look at their grade point averages, they got great work ethic. They're able to maintain. And so the data shows that even though you have a lower ACT, if you have a higher grade point average, your chances of being successful go up. And so we're going to change that bar and make it a little more flexible. Instead of being a hard and fast rule, we're going to bend it back. And if you get a lower ACT, but a higher grade point average, you're going to become either a full qualifier or in some cases partial. The same is true as if you have that unusually high ACT but a very low grade point average, you also don't have a very good chance at graduation for some reason.
Well, the answer is not always C.
Right.
just because you fill in C all the time.
It's good. We're also concerned about transfer students in terms of where you come from. We've noticed from the data at the NCAA that if you are a community college transfer and you've taken lots of performance, let's say you've taken football all 4 years or basketball or whatever in a community college, not because you're a physical education major, but because you're playing football and you got 2 hours of credit, your chances of being successful with us at a four-year institution go dramatically down. If you're a physical education major, probably doesn't hurt you to take those classes because you're going to use those in your profession. You're probably more dedicated. But the ones that just go out for the pure activity sport and get credit for it at the community college level tend not to do very well in college. And so the NCAA's going to take a pretty good stand, I think, on raising that bar for them.
We're talking with the chancellor at UNK, Doug Christensen, here on the Doug and Daddy Show, our Loper Link. Let's jump into a little bit more of the sports-related activities here.
Yeah, this academic stuff's kind of horny,
it hurts. We had, as we said, Paul Plinsky was on with us last week. Twofold. The first reason was to kind of talk about the disappointment of not having Kearney selected as a host institution for either the National Wrestling Championships or Volleyball Championships because they were a finalist. It wasn't like, well, they were a Division II and they didn't get picked. They were one of four finalists for each. They did get some regionals. And then he's been on the job for a few months, and I guess he's being evaluated by you and everybody else that's around here. So first, just your thoughts. He kind of thought that maybe if we just have it, Division II wanted to have it in some different places, and Kearney having it before may have actually hurt the bid. But your thoughts on Kearney not getting either?
I think Paul's probably got more knowledge and information than I have. I would give you my view of the world of this is that Kearney is known to be a very hospitable place, and we put on a good show. That may not be their entire interest. They may be more interested in a larger venue where they can gain more exposure from the region. That would probably argue against us just because of our size in the Kearney community. I think it has little or nothing to do with our ability to put on and organize and have a great championship experience here. At the same time, there's a lot of people competing for these things. You know, so I don't think we give up. I think we just keep plugging away. I think we've got a good story to tell here. You know, the community, we were disappointed when Facebook didn't come to the Tech Park.
Yeah.
We're thrilled when the Veterans Home gets selected here. I mean, it depends on which part of the glass you look at. And I, as our facilities, we still need to continue to improve facilities so we can be eligible for these things. But I'm not hanging my head on not getting these. And I'm actually kind of excited that Awori is going to get some regional exposure because I think that's got championship possibilities out there.
I guess my thoughts with these selections make me wonder if a city like Kearney will ever be selected again because, as you said, you know, if there is a Division II institution in Tampa, Florida, let's face it. We all want to go to Tampa, Florida, right. Or we, you know, if they're going to go ahead and hold things in St. Louis, Missouri, or in Houston, Texas, or if they're even starting to delve into the East and in New York picks this up, everybody wants to go to some place they've never been.
Right.
And with all due respect to Kearney, Nebraska, or Sioux Falls, South Dakota, or, you know, pick a town that's
look at Cedar Rapids,
Iowa. Yeah, Cedar. Oh, that's where we're going.
Well, did you see?
I mean, let's face it, NCAA basketball tournament. If you're going to Boise, Idaho, you're going, man, did we get jobbed. I mean, we could go to Salt Lake City. Right. We could go to Los Angeles. We could go to Dallas. Am I on base there? Do you get that feeling that Kearney might not get it again?
Oh, I don't. No, I don't. I don't think that we're to the point where we're wasting our time putting these bids in. I do think that it will come here, and I think you're going to see more of the festival activities where they put a group of them together because it's easier for the NCAA to organize.
Yeah.
You know, they can put their staff there. They can have uniform branding. They can do the posters and all those things. Do I think that the days of we're going to move this around? I think wrestling's the one that probably hurt me the most.
Yeah.
Because I think wrestling is probably that one where we can do it better than anybody else. And I think the experience, if you're interested in the student, we are the place. If that happens too many more times, then maybe I start to lose a little heart.
Doug Christensen with us here, giving us his time the week before Christmas. We kind of mentioned this yesterday. I kind of mentioned it in our promos today. So let's throw this out there. What would the Chancellor like for a Christmas gift for UNK?
Oh, gosh. I think that the number one gift for Christmas is support and loyalty. We've got tremendous student athletes out there. We've got good academic students day in and day out. And, you know, we spend a lot of time. If you're an administrator, you see a lot of negatives, okay? Nobody walks in your door and says, hey, Cal, things are going great. Just stop by to say hi. You know, they walk in the door with problems and issues, and part of our job is to address those, to fix them, and to balance, you know. And oftentimes it's hard to always be a supporter and a fan because they may see the negative things that are out there. But there's 100, 1,000 good things that happen every day on campus. And those are the ones that I'm lucky enough to see, and I think the people who work on the campus see. And those are the community that are involved in the campus see. But some support and saying, look, you know, we're not going to win every contest, but that doesn't mean our goal isn't to win every one of them. Can we always give money? I think the cheap answer is to say, yeah, we need more money on campus. That's going to be true whether it's Christmas or whether it's Halloween. But I think the community should feel very, very proud of the campus overall. I think they should also feel well with our athletic programs that we have here. We offer great opportunities, and you know a number of our student-athletes, and as you talk to them, their experiences here are tremendous, and that's very fulfilling, and that's what I'd like to keep for Christmas.
I almost feel guilty about the next question then, because you kind of set me up here. And I bring this to you because it is a constant, and you know it, and we've talked about it, and it's concerning the MIAA.
Sure.
And it's constantly brought up on this program, whether we're talking to a coach or whether the folks are firing off emails or calls to us here. And we talk 2-3 times a year on the show. So we've went through another sports season in the MIAA. I was extremely disheartened when the MIAA let 2 football schools leave the MIAA, especially 2 of the football schools that aren't very good. Let's face it. So and not specifically on that, but again, your thoughts as we continue to move in to the MIAA, specifically maybe, I guess the thing is, what continues to catch yourself, UNK, the administration, a little, I don't know if off guard is the way to say it, but just didn't see coming, maybe.
Well,
or we continue to struggle with, or that along that line.
I think that it's a mixed bag in some respects. One of them clearly is when we went into the MIAA, who were we expecting to be playing? I mean, one of the attractive teams for us was UNO.
Yes.
Another attractive team was Truman.
Yes.
Because not just because of their athletic powers, but because they're a good academic school and they fit with us, they're close. But they sort of have some of the same attitudes of balance that we have. In other words, you can't put everything, or you shouldn't put everything into one sport, and you should be able to provide a broad range of activities, and you ought to have some decent travel schedules. Truman believed that. So those two schools left. That makes it tougher for us. I voted against letting the other two schools out in football. What happens if in every sport
exactly
we take the bottom two teams, and so they're bottom in this period of time? I mean, you got to look over a 20-year period. All programs go up and down. But if you're constantly letting schools that are at the bottom of each sport, pretty soon every school will have a sport that they're not part of the conference. Well, then pretty soon you don't have a conference. But that's not necessarily the attitude. It was a close vote. We were on the losing end of that vote. But the option is, do you pick up your marbles and go home and say, I'm quitting? All right, can we do that? Sure, we can do that. Is that in our best interest? Well, being an independent's no panacea. Going back to the ARMAC I don't hear anybody saying we ought to do that. So the issue is, how do you live and survive in a conference that obviously is football power driven? I mean, for God's sakes, Northwest Missouri State might well be playing with Craig Bohl up there.
Yeah,
I mean, I think
who beat Kansas State? Yeah, I mean, we get
competitive in that. It is very hard. I think our mission and our goal is, one, we want to provide our student athletes with opportunities to participate. That means a wide range of sports. So you don't see us sitting here cutting large numbers of sports to cut down student opportunities. You do see us trying to raise the profile and raise funds and monies, and those monies continue to go up. If you would have looked at us 5 years ago and said, in 5 years, how many endowed dollars would you expect? We probably would not have forecasted that our fundraising is on that trajectory. At the same time, nobody likes losing.
No.
And that's, that is the difference between Division I and Division II. We're not gonna spend everything we got in an effort to win at all cost. At the same time, we've got proud coaches who don't like losing, and that's the reason I like them. And they are competitive, and it's hard on them. And I think the goal here is, we've all talked about it was going to take us 5 years to try to find our way in the conference, and year two's kind of been
this is only year two?
Well, it's like going to the dentist, and he says, Doug, I'm going to pull your tooth. And you go, oh, I've had teeth pulled, I know. You still got to sit there and have your tooth pulled. It still hurts.
While he's talking to you, looking for a response. Doug, I know we only got a minute or two left here. Let me ask you one more question along these lines, and I know the response can't be anything that's going to send people into a panic. Because a lot of people are watching what's going on in Lincoln always, and when they hear something with teams or coaches, the chancellor's name comes in with a brand new athletic director. UNK has a brand new athletic director. How much are you involved with Paul when it comes to coaches, when it comes to what has been talked about of will UNK keep the 17 sports that they have? How much are you involved with that?
But day-to-day, Paul's in charge of running the operation, and I trust him. We meet regularly, but there's lots of things to talk about. I mean, Paul is an ambitious, forward-thinking athletic director, and so he's presented me with a very good assessment of where the athletic program is, where our strengths are, and where we need to move forward, and he's not bashful about asking for additional resources. I don't sit on a pile of money. I don't have a printing press. If we had extra funds, believe me, they would probably be invested in a wide variety of things on campus. The English department would probably give me the same response. The evaluation of athletes and coaches, I'm not qualified to do that. That's the reason we hire a professional to do that. If we're going to make a major change in direction that has large public impacts, like reducing sports, you bet. He's not going to be alone in those decisions. But I think neither will the public. I think that's a deal where I would doubt you're ever going to see us some morning put out a press release saying, oh, by the way, as opposed to some other schools that are within 3 hours of here. I don't think you're going to see us do that. But at the same time, you also don't want the chancellor saying, hey, you got to recruit. You know, there's this great kicker at Minden High School. You just got to recruit him. I'm a fan at that point. And fans have opinions, but they may not be very valued. And that's kind of how I look at my opinions about who we ought to have for coaches. But, you know, there are certain decisions that impact the entire university. So if we have any employee who is out casting ill light on the university, that becomes an issue for the chancellor. And so that's probably maybe you see in some of the other schools a little more visible participation because you might have more light shine upon behaviors and misbehaviors of coaches or fans or athletes or student government senators, as Lincoln has sometimes. And I trust Paul, and he's really off to a good start. I would give you the same view that he probably gives to everybody else. We're going to evaluate Paul every year. I do that with all my direct reports. But, boy, I sure like what I see so far.
Great, great. We always sit here and ask the questions.
Yeah.
So at least if you would like to give us a little closing statement, the winter sports season is over. We've touched a little bit on the football. The volleyball had another great year.
They did.
Other places to fill in. Just anything else that you would like to cover before
you
move on?
I think I'm like
out.
Everybody else. I'm disappointed. You know, guys, get us to the Elite Eight in volleyball.
Yeah.
You know, I like our chances. I'm a little unnerved sitting here looking at a poster of Bill Callahan.
that's why I sit in this chair. We need to redecorate in here. There's the UNK flag right there, so we'll switch that around.
It's kind of like walking back in the 60s. At the same time, I'm very proud of our student-athletes, and as I see, you know, and you start mentioning names, and I'm going to leave people out, so I probably won't do that, but there's some student-athletes who I'm really proud of that I've got a chance to know. And I get a chance to see their parents, and I sit by their parents, and they become your friends. And I'm going, next year, I'm not going to see them.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, you know, that's hard. And there's freshmen that come up and all those. But the institution is well served by the people we have working for us, and I think the student-athletes who come here. And at the end of the day, I wouldn't trade that with very many other institutions. And that would include a Northwest Missouri State where everybody, if your sole judge is football, go do it. Because I wouldn't trade their institution for ours for the world.
All right, Doug, we always appreciate you giving us some time here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Hope it's a great Christmas for the family.
Yeah, and it will be.
Can't wait to come down and see the Whippets. We got them tomorrow against Central Catholic. Any predictions?
Great. Well, just don't go get a hot dog at half.
Things are going really well for the ladies and the boys coming off a win as well. Doug, Merry Christmas.
Thanks. Same to you.
Our Loper Link, a couple of things. As we said, we'll talk about Cole Manhart with Daryl Morris here in our last segment, becoming an All-American. The basketball teams, Connor Baronick's named the Conference Player of the Week, a career day in the last game out with 38 points and 17 rebounds. The men and women were both winners. They are home. Coming up on Saturday for the final game before Christmas. They also have the Athletes of the Week, Dylan Schroat, the MIAA Track Field Athlete of the Week, broke his own school record in the heptathlon. And for Jackie Zemke, she's the Track Athlete of the Week on the women's side. The wrestling team, they had a very good showing in the York Open, just trying to get some work out in. Five first place, 11 medalists, and that's what the Lopers had going on with that. The track team, we talked with Brady Bonzo last week, and of course we just talked about the two MIAA Athletes of the Week and what they were able to do. They are now off until mid-January, so I believe that covers pretty much everything. We've got a whole lot more that we're going to be talking about here with the Lopers over the next week as things kind of slow down. We'll talk more about UNK and Hastings College, but right now that's our Loper Link, brought to you by Charterwest National Bank of Kearney, offering all types of loans from FHA, VARD, and conventional home loans, and for seniors, the reverse mortgage loans. You have the reasons they have the loans at Charterwest National Bank. Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star, when we come back.
This important message from Complete Nutrition is for all men over 30.
You're a guy over 30 and not in the best of shape. You know that you put on about 5 pounds every year from not doing anything about it. You want the energy you once had. Even your libido is suffering and your wife is looking at you sideways. You've made it too far in life to stop caring about your health. Take control and get ManCore Pro. ManCore Pro is designed for men over 30. Now with a powerful new formula combining a daily multivitamin. Increase your energy, boost your testosterone and metabolism, and get all of your daily nutrients. ManCore Pro has everything you need to take care of your body and maintain a healthy lifestyle. Men don't quit. Man up and get healthy. Get the new ManCore Pro, exclusively at Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Hi, it's the Herd. With the holidays almost here, you don't have time to go to the post office. There's traffic, there's parking. It'll be packed with everybody mailing holiday gifts and packages. What a headache. That's why I recommend Stamps.com. You can avoid all the hassle of going to the post office during the busy holiday season. Don't even try it. I have. You'll regret it. Everything you do at the post office, you can do right from your desk. Like buy and print official U.S. postage using your own computer and printer. Print postage for any letter or any package the instant you need it. Then the mailman picks it up. So easy, so convenient. Right now, special offer. When you use my name, Colin, it's a no-risk trial, plus a $110 bonus offer, which includes a digital scale and up to $55 of free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the radio mic, top of the homepage, and type in Colin. Stamps.com, enter.
This is that sad time of year again when you're unhooking your propane bottle and wheeling that grill into the garage for the winter. I know you'll miss her. This is Jeremy at HK Sports Bar and Grill, and I've got some great news for you. We never put our grill away. Every day is a backyard barbecue for us. We're talking burgers that require both hands, juicy Nebraska ribeyes, baby back ribs, even smoked brisket. So throw that cover over your grill and get down to HK Sports Bar and Grill.
Come on in, let the games begin.
With sunny skies developing across the area today, we'll head our way up to 62 for a high with the west winds about 5 to 15. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, we'll fall up to 26 as winds shift to the northeast. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now, it's 46.
Doug and Daddy Show. Man, is it New Year's Eve already?
We're going to have a meeting, Jeff. That's what we're going to have. Counseling meeting for you. We've stuck you on the other side of the building for way too long.
I know.
Coming up later this week, we've got some Georgia football to talk about. We are going to be on the road at True Value coming up on Friday for a Doug and Daddy Show from 11 to 12. Jim Langan will be with me there. We will be at True Value in Kearney coming up on Friday from 11 to 12 noon. And we're looking forward to a lot of great things. What are we going to be doing Friday?
We're heading to True Value.
Okay.
Might do a little shopping, you know, little guys, little girl, little gals. We got everything. If you can't find it at True Value, you can't find it.
Well, yeah.
It really kind of boils down to that. I mean, just you scour the place, and it's just all there. I found a couple of stocking stuffers. You might even get something from me this year. You might.
Yeah, I'm afraid we'll be in the stocking. Randy Bushcutter slides in after our chat with the chancellor at UNK, Doug Christian. So we're going to talk a little Husker football now, brought to you by T&L Irrigation Systems. Proven technology that's easier on you for a lifetime. Don't forget, good time to get yours in for some preventative maintenance here during the winter time and get ready for 2014. And Steve Sipple joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. We missed him. We've missed him the last couple of Wednesdays.
We had a withdrawal.
Sip, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing good, and you can tell, and I will mention this, you can tell unsportsmanlike conduct in Omaha to quit stealing our ideas.
Oh, the round table. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who came up with that first, but if it was you, I understand why you might be chagrined by that.
I do want to start there because the media has been a kind of a big story on its own here during this last month, and it always is in the way, even the way we cover anybody. I mean paper, television, radio. But you guys got together for about 4 hours. I think that was a couple of days ago, and had a variety of different people, from yourself to Tommy Frazier to Dirk and the hosts in Sharp and Damon Benning on that. What did you take out of that? Was there something that you took out of that 2, 3, 4 hours that you were with them that made you think differently about where the program is or what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. A couple of things that I got out of it right away, Doug, were, I mean, there's some questions, maybe more questions out there than I thought about strength and conditioning. That element, which I hear people ask about it, discuss it. I've been asked about it. But that seems like a pretty serious topic out there. And I don't know, I don't have answers there. I'm not a fitness guy, but, and I haven't really looked at it that close. So I don't know about it, but I know that's a topic. I came out of that, you know, with Damon Benning's, I think it'd be fair to characterize it as his concern is that the negativity that emanates from us, you know, media, message boards, newspaper guys, talk shows, comments under stories, I mean, Facebook, there's so much social media, Twitter. And then a lot of that is negative, and the concern is, how does that impact the program, and what can Bo do to help alleviate it? You're not going to make it go away, but what can he do to help alleviate it? Now, that's Damon's deal. I said on the show, I don't know how much of an issue it is. I can't. It's not tangible, so it's hard to know how much that impacts wins and losses. I think if you're winning that stuff, you don't even talk about it. If you're losing, it gets nasty, and I guess you do talk about it. But now, one last thing, and I'm rambling. I would say this, though, that it is a concern of Bo's. So I guess you could say it's a concern.
And Steve, with that in mind, I think this, I almost think there's a disconnect from how the university feels about their program, how Coach Bellini sees the program, and then how it's perceived. Does Bo need to do a better job? Because recruiting is selling, and selling is recruiting. Does he need to do a better job of selling the program? Does he need to be a little bit more media savvy to try to control the message a little bit better?
I mean, those thoughts, I look at them independently, Randy. I mean, I look at, yeah, he has to sell the program to recruits, and I think they do a good job of that. When Bo goes into salesman mode, he's really good. Now, I guess your thoughts are related in that. Could he do a better job of taking that salesman mode to the public, to away from recruiting to us?
Wouldn't that help? Wouldn't that help the program if he did?
Well, I think it would, but now here's... this discussion gets fairly involved. I mean, there's two factors I think of immediately. I'm not sure he hasn't done that. I think he has done that to a certain degree. And then the other thought is, I gotta be careful. Cause people kind of, if they're not in that guy's shoes, they just write it off as an excuse or a poor me. But if you feel like you're under attack all the time, you're probably not, it's going to be harder and harder for you to respond positively in certain situations. And I think he does feel under siege right now. Bo doesn't get support internally. I don't mind saying that. At least he doesn't feel like he does. And then when you factor in all of them, and what do you do if you're a human? You listen to the negative more than you listen to the positive. The negative hits you more. And there's more negative because people that complain do it louder than people that send you, compliments. And it's so I think in his shoes, it'd be pretty easy to get into a mode where you're a little bit guarded, or in some cases, a lot guarded.
Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal Star, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Sip, well, I guess we haven't really chatted much since the Iowa game. There was a lot of turmoil, I guess, and now it's cooled down, and I've really been pleasantly surprised with how well it seems that the kids, whether they're JUCOs or high school kids, are responding to Nebraska, getting some commits and things like that. Since the Iowa game to where we are now with Nebraska starting full practice for the Gator Bowl yesterday, what has went on in the program in your eyes?
Well, not a lot. They've only had a couple practices, but they're practicing now full go this week. They practiced today. What the hell is today? Say Wednesday. They practiced today in full pads. They practiced yesterday in full pads. They practiced Thursday in half pads. Friday helmets. Saturday helmets. So this is a game week. I mean, this is like their game week. Then they'll take some days off and regroup and go to Jacksonville and finish up workouts. So this is a big week right now. Before that, the emphasis was strength and conditioning and recruiting. The coaches were recruiting, and then James Dobson kind of took over his staff, making sure they're doing their strength and conditioning work. So that's what's going on. I think it makes sense. I mean, I think those kids needed a little time away from hitting each other for obvious reasons. And now, I guess, like I said, I would regard this as a pretty big week for them.
Sip, your thoughts? I kind of think that not hardly anything negative can come out of this bowl game unless it's 60-0. But I think if Nebraska loses, everybody looks at it and says, well, yeah, Nebraska loses another bowl game and it's an SEC team. If they win, they beat an SEC team. They beat Georgia. They avenge last year's loss. They break the little mini bowl losing streak that they're on. It shows that the defense has gotten better, that the young kids that have filled in for the injured starters at the beginning of the year have improved. And, you know, I don't get too oversold on vaulting into next year, but just your thoughts on the matchup and talking a little football about what Nebraska can accomplish with a win here.
Well, I always think these bowl games are gigantic. I think I've said it on your show before, because of kind of what you just said. It's the final impression. And in an intense and sometimes rabid fan base, you can alleviate a lot of problems on the outside with a good performance. So, yeah, you're right. And I always laugh when I hear people say the Bulls, well, bowl games don't matter. What's the big deal? So big if you lose. I mean, that's all we'll talk about for 7 months. I mean, that's not a big game. It's a gigantic game every year. I don't care what bowl they're in. So, yeah, and I like the matchup. I mean, I think it's a game where, I mean, what game isn't this, but I think there'll be even more of a premium probably on not turning it over and at least being even, not turning it over much and being at least even in special teams, playing them, to a standoff in special teams. If you do that, I think you got a good chance to win. I think you can hold Georgia to 17 points, maybe, somewhere between 14 and 21. And, maybe you can get 24 and win the game. And I do think Nebraska does have a good chance to win. I think if you asked me to pick a team, I'd pick Georgia in a close game.
Steve, we've kind of been talking all year about the defense being young. Well, now it's the end of the season. They're not really young anymore. How important is it to kind of – this is their last real test, and this is kind of the final, if you will. How important is it for them to have a good start as a young defense for next season? Because many people think defense will be the strength of the team next year.
Well, I think it's important from a confidence standpoint because this year – you know what? When they were struggling, I think, well, who cares what I think? John Papuchis thought at least 50% of the problem was lack of confidence or just no confidence. So what happens if Georgia, you know, if Todd Gurley runs for 170 yards and Georgia scores 44 points? It's going to hurt your confidence going into the offseason. Probably lingers to the start of 2014. So, yeah. And you know why? Because I emphasize that confidence part on defense. It's so big and deep. It's a, you know, confidence big in anything you do. I mean, you want to be confident you know how to pump gas in your car. But in playing defense, it is, you got it. You're not going to play good defense if you're not confident. So, yeah, that's big. And you know what else is big? Is that those young guys going in the spring and basically February. There's not much time off. And so they hit the ground running now. And I can't tell you how big that is to the coaching staff, because last year it was difficult because you had all those new guys going to spring ball, and a lot of them were starting from ground zero. I mean, they didn't know anything, okay? And then in August, it was kind of the same thing. There wasn't a lot of, you know, there was some retention, but then you had new faces joining, and you're teaching all over again. There was just so much teaching going on. Now, there won't be so much of that. And that's what the coaching staff's excited about. But they'll get a jump now because all these young guys have been in the system, so it doesn't start at ground zero. So the bowl practices coupled with, you know, going into spring ball. So, yeah, you're right, Ray. If they have a good performance, you go into spring ball quickly, you continue to, you know, hopefully generate confidence, and then you go into the off-season program and then go into August, and it all kind of continues. So, yeah, it all adds up.
Couple minutes left here with Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal star. Let's actually talk a little bit about Georgia here, Sip. We had a chance to have a teleconference with Coach Richt this morning, going over a few things. And I'm looking up and down the stats. They score points. Even when they lose, they score points, which which will be scary to Nebraska fans. But they don't have a home run hitter now that Murray is out at quarterback. They don't have a 1,000-yard rusher. They've got a ton of receivers that seem to be balanced up and down the line. Here's one that I chuckled at. I thought, you know, all the Nebraska fans are so worried about Nebraska's punt rush. Well, Georgia's horrible at returning punts, so you watch. That'll be a big part of the game. But your impressions on what Georgia's got?
You know, I don't know a whole lot. I haven't looked at them that close because of the game is down the line, but the things that strike me right away, well, obviously, you can't let Todd Gurley get going early. He's good, but, you know, listen, he's a good back, but you know how we'll do it. We'll make him into Herschel Walker by game time. But you know what? He's capable of hitting you pretty hard. And if he's hitting you hard early, that obviously is going to affect things. You know, I don't have a great feel for their quarterback. I have a pretty good feel for the receivers. The receivers scare me. I mean, if Chris Conley's healthy, you remember the damage he did. He had he had a 49-yard touchdown and an 87-yard touchdown, 40-plus and 80-plus last year. And he's a big, strong receiver, and they do have big, strong receivers. Now, can that backup quarterback get him the ball? I don't know. And then their defense, I just know it lost a lot. And they do give up some points. And I don't think Nebraska's going to score 40, but I think Nebraska's good enough to score 24 or 27 and maybe win. But I don't know. I don't know a whole lot about Georgia other than what I just said. That's about as good as I could do right there.
Steve, we have got the sense that maybe the Husker fans aren't overly excited about the rematch. How are the players approaching it? I mean, are they excited about the opportunity? Are they excited about going to a bowl game on New Year's Day? Or is it really too early to really have a sense of what their excitement level, what their energy level is going to be when game time rolls around?
Yeah, we haven't been around the players only just one time, Randy. And they do seem genuinely excited. But that's the key question. I mean, that is the question, because that's a big element in bowl games. Which team cares more? Which team wants it more? Let's face it, comes down to that. I think Nebraska will be hungry. I think they will. I don't know for sure, but I think they'll be fine in that regard, and perhaps much better than fine. But you're right, it's early. You always get a better feel for that at the bowl site, but even then, sometimes you don't know because, You know, when they lost that bowl game to Washington, 19-6, whatever year that was it 2010 or 2011? They're all running together. What was that? Was that 2011
season?
When they lost to Washington 19-6 in the Holiday Bowl.
Yeah.
We all thought that Nebraska was loose and ready to go. We, is the guys that, meaning the guys that were covering it in San Diego. And Nebraska just came out, you know, flat as a pancake. So sometimes, you know, Randy, it's really hard to tell.
And again, that was three bowls ago. It depends how you want to look at the season versus the date. It's been South Carolina and Georgia the last 2 years. Sip, I know that you do so much more now with than just the Journal Star and Big Red Report and on all the radio shows in Nebraska. We really appreciate it. What can we get you for Christmas?
You don't need to get me anything. And honestly, I'm not that busy. I think the guys here in the office would say, you got all the time in the world. I usually tell them to... you know what? I always take December and try to do very little. I'm sure my boss, if you listen, will just love to hear that.
We'll send him the podcast.
What's that?
We'll send him the podcast of this just to make sure he's got it.
Please don't. I appreciate it, though. It's good to be on with you guys, and Merry Christmas to you. We'll talk soon.
Hey, sounds good, Sip. Have a great Christmas.
All right, you too, guys.
Take care, Sip.
Lincoln Journal Star. More people love the Lincoln Journal Star after listening to Sip. That's all there is to it. So his boss can listen all he wants.
There you go.
That's
there
pub for the Journal Star, people. We appreciate Sip joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I did have to chuckle as I look at some of the stats here about this punt return. They're not good. They're not. Their longest punt return of the year is 17 yards.
That is worried. Wow. That's torrid. I mean, that's terrible. Torrid would be good. That's terrible. Terrible.
The All-American volleyball team has just been announced. Nebraska's Kelsey Robinson is a first-team All-American. Katie Rolfson, a third-team All-American. Mary Pohlmiller, Megan Haggerty, honorable mention on the American Volleyball Coaches Association All-American team. So congratulations to those Nebraska Cornhuskers. Folks, don't forget, wherever you want to watch your favorite sporting events, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, whether it's hockey, it's all on for you at Cunningham's. And, of course, whether it's lunch, whether it's afternoon, whether it's an evening meal, maybe you just want a cold beverage, Cunningham's Journal and The Loft is there for you. You've got college students starting to wind down. You need a break. You know Cunningham's been your favorite place, at least since you've been 21. And before that, of course, you can go in and have a meal. You don't even have to be 21 to go and see the great folks at Cunningham's with great entertainment every single weekend. They wish everyone a very Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Thank you for your business in 2013, and wish the best to the graduates that'll be coming up Friday at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. Stop by, have lunch, pick up your favorite sandwich. Their menu is vast with great sandwiches. You can get a salad, great appetizers on there, a Husker rib, a Journal bite, pizzas made fresh right there at Cunningham's as well. So whether it's you, your coworkers, or just the friends, head on out to Cunningham's, 23rd Street, downtown on the Bricks in Kearney. Daryl Morris, Loper football coach, next.
Hi, it's the Herd. With the holidays almost here, you don't have time to go to the post office. There's traffic, there's parking. It'll be packed with everybody mailing holiday gifts and packages. What a headache. That's why I recommend Stamps.com. You can avoid all the hassle of going to the post office during the busy holiday season. Don't even try it. I have. You'll regret it. Everything you do at the post office, you can do right from your desk. Like buy and print official U.S. postage using your own computer and printer. Print postage for any letter or any package the instant you need it. Then the mailman picks it up. So easy, so convenient. Right now, special offer. When you use my name, Colin, it's a no-risk trial, plus a $110 bonus offer, which includes a digital scale and up to $55 of free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio mic, top of the homepage, and type in Colin. Stamps.com, enter.
Santa's reindeer may travel many miles this Christmas, but no package, however brightly wrapped, can express a more heartfelt thank you for your business over the past year. From Carl and the gang at Statler Implement in Minden.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
With sunny skies developing across the area today, we'll head our way up to 62 for a high with the west winds about 5 to 15. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, we'll fall up to 26 as winds shift to the northeast. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now, it's 46.
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul.
I say it every year. It's not exactly current anymore, but still, for the non-traditional, one of my favorites right here.
Yeah, that's a good one. My favorite, by the way, is an obscure little ditty that was on a holiday special between Bing Crosby and
David Bowie.
David Bowie, I love that. The little Dumber Boy, the thing that they do. It's
yeah.
Awesome.
Peace on Earth, Little Drummer Boy. Yeah. Duo. Yeah.
And there's no other version that's kind of very similar to that that it competes with it. So that
it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. It seems like okay. It's. I'll tell you what. One I hate, that Vince Valiant thing. Thank God. I used to be in the FM studio all the time. So All I Want for Christmas is You.
Oh, yeah.
I hate it. It is played so much. But anyway, it's Christmas. You're supposed to love what's going on. Used to be for years before the show started and we were moved over to this studio, I was doing all my work in that studio. Yeah. So you'd hear, I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas and that. And, you know, they play about 15 songs and 10 of them were novelties. So there you go. But in the Christmas spirit, we welcome in the head football coach at UNK, Daryl Morris. You love Christmas, right, Coach?
You know, Darla loves Christmas quite a bit, yeah.
You love it until the bills come, right?
Well, you know, Darla's expensive. There's no question about that. But I love her, so there you go.
What does Daryl want for Christmas?
Daryl wants Darla to back up a little bit. That's what Daryl wants. Back off just a tad.
This may not be helping, just so you know, Daryl.
Daryl Morris, head football coach at UNK. We wanted to catch up with him because a rare occurrence happened this week, yesterday, the announcement came out, and we talked about it when we wrapped up the season, and I went back and I listened to our interview a little bit there, Daryl, and you had nothing but praise for Cole Manhart. Becomes just the fifth Loper to be named a first-team football All-American by the Coaches Association, and when you put it in that perspective, that's the highest honor that basically you can have that doesn't have anything to do with the academics, and he still does great there, 3-5-1.
You know, Cole is a phenomenal football player, but way past that, Cole is just a great man. He's got a great heart. Cole is available anytime I need somebody to, you know, he went and did the Polar Express here last week and read, you know, sat on the trolley and read books to little kids and their parents for from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock. He's always makes himself available. He's a great ambassador of UNK. He's a great ambassador of a Loper football, and he's a great student and just a better young man.
Coach, it's also a position that's kind of hard to get noticed. You know, when you're on the line, you don't have a lot of stats that you can kind of point at. How did you get the sense that maybe there was some attention, that other people understood how good Cole was?
Well, I think when we were at the MIAA coaches meetings and we were going through the balloting process and voting for all MIAA, the fact that he was the only unanimous offensive player picked. You know, football coaches, and I tell guys this all the time, the people on TV, the people on the radio and all that kind of stuff, they talk about quarterbacks, they talk about wideouts, they talk about running backs, but football coaches spend a lot of time talking about linemen. And I think all the coaches in MIAA appreciated what they saw him do on film as they would break us down. I think he stood out and they knew he was a quality player.
When did you know he was a quality player, Darryl?
I think probably all the way back when he was a redshirt freshman. We were short on linemen in the spring, and he was taking a lot of reps and running. Maybe we were scrimmaging, and he was maybe going 20 plays at a time without a break and just going hard every play. And I can remember telling Russ Martin, who was our offensive coordinator at that time, that kid's going to be a player. Because he had a motor and he just gave you effort. He was, he's attentive. And so I think early on we began to realize he was going to be a good football player.
And you kind of got used to the idea that he was, but was there a moment when you're breaking down film that you're like bringing in other coaches and say, you got to look at this. Wow, what a play.
Well, I don't recall a play like that. I think it's just his consistency is, and that's what everybody's looking for. I mean, he's just consistently a good football player. He's rarely ever wrong assignment-wise. He doesn't make, he doesn't make the unforced error mistakes, jumping off sides and holding and doing all those kinds of things. It's just the way he plays. I mean, he's got great leadership skills. He's again got a 3.51 in criminal justice. He's just a good all around guy, and we're excited the fact that other people are recognizing that besides us.
We're talking with Darryl Morris here for a couple of minutes, UNK head football coach, about their first team All American in Cole Manhart. And he's just a junior. A lot of these things come down to seniors for accolades. So he's going to be back. What are you guys expecting of him next season, and how do you think the opponents will now approach it?
Well, I think he's presently the only returning senior captain that we have on our football team. So he is our only team captain right now. So we expect Cole to continue to get better. We expect Cole to get a fair amount of traffic from NFL scouts. But we expect Cole to continue to be the team player that he is, the guy that will continually help the young kids learn and progress and develop, but also continue to be a great ambassador for this institution. Our chancellor says all the time, hey, get me on ESPN, don't get me on CNN. And, Cole is the guy that's going to get you on ESPN. So we are getting our money's worth out of Cole Manhart and tenfold.
And you mentioned Cole being team captain, coming back next year. What is his leadership style? Is he a leadership by example, or is he an in-your-face guy?
He's not really an in-your-face guy, but he is a vocal leader, but it's mostly by example. He's the guy you never catch going halfway. You never catch him, not getting that last rep in the weight room. He goes to class. He makes himself available to help out when we're trying to do things in the community. So example is going to be his biggest leadership style, but he will get vocal and he will get after a guy if he feels like a guy is not doing what's good for himself and the football program in the University of Nebraska at Kearney.
And without pimping him out, Darryl, I know you guys will definitely talk to recruits that you can get this kind of exposure at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, and you need more Cole Manharts to win in the MIAA. How will this help?
Well, it does help, and they'll start coming through here in the spring, and that's I'm talking about scouts from NFL clubs, and that does help when you're recruiting other kids who have those kinds of goals, and I think we had probably 24 scouts come through here in the fall, and I expect just about every NFL club to send a representative through the spring and then back into the fall to watch Cole, and we are recruiting some kids who are from other institutions that have desires to get exposure. So the MIAA and the kids you're going to compete against, but also having a guy on your team that's drawing that kind of exposure at practice when you have three or four or five NFL scouts standing around, that's something you can sell to another recruit. So it helps everybody.
Darryl Morris, head football coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, talking about Cole Manhart and the football program. Any other news we need to know about, Coach?
The recruiting is hot and heavy. We're making we've had 8 or 9 recruits in on campus here so far, and made some offers, and we've gotten 3 commitments so far. So we'll announce those at the appropriate time. But things are moving forward rapidly.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas to you and Darla and the family, and we'll talk again soon.
Appreciate that, guys.
Take care. Darryl Morris, head football coach at the University of Nebraska. Kearney did misspeak earlier. The basketball for the Lopers is Friday, not Saturday, but it's Friday for UNK basketball. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question. Yesterday, which of these teams will earn the last AFC wildcard spot? And again, the Patriots and Bengals in charge of their own destiny. If they win, they're going to win their division. 36% chose the Ravens, even though they still have to play New England and Cincinnati. 18% kind of along the lines there of the Dolphins, the Bengals. And not very many people gave the Chargers a chance, even though their last 2 games are in warm San Diego against Oakland and Kansas City.
The Dolphins control their own destiny too. They win out. They're going to be ahead of whoever loses that Bengals Ravens game. So the Dolphins is my vote because they got the easiest path.
And
because
you're their
they
fan,
can,
but true.
And I'm a fan, but they
it's
do
at Buffalo and it's home against the Jets. I think it'd be much more worrisome if it was at the Jets and home against Buffalo.
Well, yeah, but they lost to the Buffalo when the Bills outplayed them and more's on the line. They're playing better. I mean, when they lost to Buffalo was. They were a little distracted, shall we say.
Cincinnati needs to be on alert. Which team will win the NFC North? The Bears, the Packers, the Lions. The Bears are at Philly and host Green Bay. Of course, the Packers are hosting Pittsburgh and at Chicago, and the Lions will host New York and go to Minnesota. Lions have the easiest schedule left, but they just are my Dallas Cowboys.
They're
dysfunctional.
They're dysfunctional.
They are that team.
Yeah, they find a way to shoot themselves in a foot. So I think I'd probably have to go with the Bears.
Yeah, that's my vote, too. ESPNSuperstation.com is where you can vote on our Midtown Mart cooler question, Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Well, he's all healed up from riding the bulls this weekend, Andy, from the Midway PBR, and now it's just Midway Auto Dealerships. Hey, man, what's going on? Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you, man.
That was a great event Saturday. Great event.
You know, it always is. It's so different. I mean, it's just, I was telling somebody, they said, how do you describe it? I said, anytime you can get some country boy with a big old fat dip in there, a cowboy hat on some boots, and have him come out to like Eminem, I said, I'm all in. I am all in. It's like, I mean, you got the world's toughest guys that actually, they're not afraid of anything. And then you throw a little DJ Khaled or Eminem on the radio and I'm all about it.
Well, let's get all in at the Midway Auto Dealership. Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, South 2nd Avenue, thinkmidway.com, the all-new Think Midway. We're almost there. I know we talked Christmas, but the thing is, right after Christmas, it's the end of the year.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, folks. Right now, we got up at the Chevrolet store. Chevrolet is giving more. That's kind of the really big slogan. It's the big push. I'm sure a lot of you have seen those commercials out there. They got the old salesperson, Nick. He's the one out there. He's resemblance to Santa Claus. Which is real if there's any young children out there. So don't worry about that, parents. I didn't spoil that little secret. But at the same time, we've got a lot of great deals going on. One of the big things we're really trying to do is move the rest of the 2013 inventory that we have. Currently, we actually have 7 Buicks, 7 Cadillacs, and then 10 Chevrolets. So we got a total of 24 GM vehicles that are 2013 or older. Now, folks, don't worry. There's plenty more selection than that. That's where the real big push and the emphasis is. But the nice part is the 2014 Chevrolet Silverado, brand new, completely redesigned, but more horsepower on the vehicle. They've actually gone ahead and made the cab size a little bit bigger, too. I know that was kind of one of the complaints from the previous year's models is, man, we'd like to get more room, more space in there. And then let's not forget, I know it's last week it was 50-some degrees out, you know, at the middle of the week, so let's also talk about fuel efficiency. I know gas is just at its rock bottom price. You know, it's like $3, right? I mean, everybody put a little extra change in your piggy bank. But, you know, we've got a great lineup between the Sparks, the Sonics, the Cruises, the Malibus, the Chevrolet Impalas, all extremely economical. Even got a Chevrolet Volt out there, too. Folks, here's the thing. There's a lot of different ways for you to be able to save. The best thing to do is just get on into Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, come see Heath Phillips and the gang, and just kind of ask some questions. A lot of people don't realize, but you buy a new GM product right now, you're getting at least a two-year, 24,000-mile complete maintenance agreement. 4 oil changes, 4 tire rotations. General Motors is doing whatever they can to get people in the door. And once you get into the reason they're doing this, because they know they got such a great product and the prices are so fantastic right now, people are just saying, man, it would be stupid not to go ahead and do it.
Folks, don't miss out. See Andy and the gang, all the great sales staff up at Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Hey, have a great week.
We'll do it, buddy.
We'll be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
My name is Rennell Turner. I'm currently at a car service for about the last 5-6 years. I live from paycheck to paycheck each week. I get paid, have to go to check cashing. It's complicated. You have to wait for the bus. You have to wait for the train. And it's an inconvenience because you have to do too many things for one thing.
There should be an easier way to manage your money. That's the thinking behind American Express Serve, a full-service prepaid account that helps you handle your money simply and affordably. Get same-day access to your paycheck with direct deposit and reload cash for free at thousands of locations. Plus, you have the 24/7 service of American Express backing you up. All for $1 a month. This is what membership is. This is what membership does.
Now there is no purchase fee when you get an American Express Serve card at CVS Pharmacy or Family Dollar. Offer ends December 31st. Terms and restrictions apply. Go to serve.com for more details.
Duck and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Don't forget to get in the Duck and Daddy Bowl Bonanza. It's probably the only thing around here that you can get into for free and win some great prizes, including a LCD HDTV from Russell's Appliance, a $200 gift card from Troutman's Quality Meats. Woo! Now that!
Put those two things together right there.
That is worth it, people. How about a gift card from $100 gift card from Cunningham's? Also, Big Daly's Deli, Cunningham's with the smaller gift cards and meals and things like that. Entries are due at kickoff of the Military Bowl Friday, December 27th. That's the first game that is on our list. So get it done before Christmas because you know what's going to happen. You'll forget about it over Christmas Day. We're back on the 26th to remind you about it because that's what our boss does around here. He whips the whip on us, so we'll be back then. But all you have to do is go to ESPNSuperstation.com, click on the Doug and Daddy Bowl Bonanza, and get registered today.
What are we, British? Supposed to be celebrating Boxing Day, for crying out loud? The 26th is the holiday because it's Dannymus. It's Dannymus. Christ was born on Christmas. My daughter Danielle was born the day after. It's Dannymus.
I have to hear about this
every year. Every year, yes, you do. Yeah. And you know what? This is the year. This is the birthday.
Yeah. That she gets to cut up her fake ID, too.
As far as I know.
Exactly. Hastings College women, a putback with 1 second to go by Cammie Bruckman, gives them a 72-71 win over 12th-ranked College of St. Mary in Omaha last night to improve to 12-2. And they will be taking on Mount Marty in a men's and women's doubleheader coming up on Saturday. And you can hear that on 1230 AM KHA. I saw some good basketball last night, Randy. There were a couple of really good boys games out there last night.
Yeah, the Ravenna-Kearney Catholic boys game was outstanding. And yeah, just it was interesting to me. Ravenna has played only two games coming up to that. That means you have a little extra time for Paul Baronic to coach your basketball team. I like how that'll turn out for you. I mean, just their offense was really a well-oiled machine. A lot of times it takes a little time for them to be as efficient with the passing game as they were last night. They're already in pretty good form.
Kearney Catholic girls won their game to stay undefeated. St. Cecilia boys a winner. St. Cecilia girls beat St. Paul in a battle of unbeatens. So they're still undefeated. Grand Island Northwest boys and girls both beat Columbus last night. Heartland Lutheran 82-80 over McCool Junction. That would have been a fun one to watch as well. That's just a few of the games. Overton boys beat Anselmo Myrna. They were both unbeaten going into the game. Tomorrow, Grand Island Central Catholic is at Minden. You'll be able to hear that on the Breeze. And Gibbon is at Ravenna. That should be an outstanding boys matchup.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Girls and boys doubleheader, and you'll hear that on Classic Hits 98.9. We've got Kearney Bearcat basketball on ESPN Friday. Hastings High basketball on 1230 KHAS coming up as well. So congratulations to Cole Manhart, Amir Abdullah, as we said earlier in the show, Amber Kelsey Robinson, a first-team All-American for the Nebraska volleyball team. Katie Rolfson, third-team. Haggerty and Paul Miller, honorable mention. Tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, Luke Hoover. It could be, for some, the Super Bowl of your fantasy season. Luke will be in to answer your fantasy football questions. We'll talk with Grand Island wrestling coach Mike Shadwinkle to preview this weekend's big Flatwater Fracas in Grand Island. Those are among our guests. We want to thank UNK Chancellor Doug Christensen, Loper football coach Daryl Moore, Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star, for joining us today. And Randy, I'll see you Friday at Wilkie's True Value as we get ready for a special.
We'll do a little extra shopping there.
I'm ready. I am ready. Folks, have a great day. We will see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.